Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer and suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, I'm excited to have back Reverend Abigail Scherer. She's a vibrant minister, dynamic speaker, and compassionate spiritual counselor. Reverend Abigail Scherer is inciting a global lovelution by awakening people to their spiritual magnificence and radiant essence. Her spiritual journey began at the age of 21 after walking into Center for Spiritual Living San Jose. She became a licensed religious science practitioner in 2005, and in 2012, Reverend Abigail founded Center for Spiritual Living Peninsula, where she lovingly guides a growing congregation to embrace their own divine potential. And we're going to be talking about that tonight, folks. Thank you for the callers. We'll get to you about the midpoint in the show. Inspired by the awesome collective potential of women in this world, she birthed Sister Spirit Women's Retreat in 2008. She continues to facilitate this annual retreat, empowering women to live fully in their authenticity, allowing their love, creativity, and spirituality to heal themselves and the world. In 2015, Reverend Abigail also created a remarkable experience designed for spiritual adults ages 18 to 35, the Next Gen Retreat, as an investment in the future leaders of the world. This retreat educates participants about social justice, engaging in healthy relationships, leadership skills, and emboldens them to create a sustainable future of prosperity, service, and love for all. In 2017, Centers for Spiritual Living recognized her powerful and impactful work with the emerging leaders in the organization by bestowing her with the Global Youth Champion Award. Reverend Abigail draws inspiration from the great spiritual masters of all religion and seemingly marries it with practical guidance in her speaking and teaching. With a spirit as fun as her hair, love is at the core of all she expresses. She believes we are all part of the human race, here to help create the life God intended us to have, one of absolute joy, complete abundance, and freedom. And so let me welcome Reverend Abigail. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you, David?
I'm doing great, too. It's a pleasure to have you back. And I love what you say about absolute joy, complete abundance, and freedom. What is our so-called ticket to ride to achieve those things in life?
Well, I think it starts with intention, putting that intention mm-hmm. out there, being available and open to receive. I think that as each one of us, especially me, you know, as I grow, I recognize and know that God or the universe or whatever you want to call it is there for me to support me in my own unfoldment. And I know that as I put my intentions into the universe of having a life of joy and having a life of freedom, that it is the delight of the divine to provide that me. So, and I want everybody to know about that because for me, my life just keeps getting better, and I want people to know that that's totally possible for them too.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the key to achieving that is to remain our level of vibration in a high place or as high a place as we can. What do you think?
Yes, I agree. And it's, you know, it's funny trying to get into a higher level of vibration when you're in a lower level of vibration. I think part of the realization is the acceptance of you are where you are, and then the intention, or even the attention, what you put your attention on grows, onto things that are working in your life, like gratitude, moving into that space of gratitude to shift you out of where you're at, but also recognizing instead of, you know, sometimes I will beat myself up over this, I'm in a bad mood. And instead of beating myself up, which is not going to do any help, any good, I shift into a space of gratitude and realizing what good I do have, and that will uplift my vibration no matter where I'm at.
That works for me. I think the tricky part that I've had a challenge coming to accept and embrace has been to honor the feelings that pass through me instead of trying to escape them in some fashion before I shift gears and reach for a better feeling. And what would you have to say about that?
I think you are absolutely right, David. I think that that's key, is being and feeling the emotions, because it's within those emotions where the power lies. And I've been working on I have my own minister who counsels me, and I've been working with her on that very thing of, you know, I don't want to be in that spot, but I'll avoid those feelings that are uncomfortable or sad. And what it does is I end up carrying those things in my body, and then my body starts not working for me, because I haven't had the chance to allow the emotions to flow through me. And so I've really tapped into just being present with my emotions and identifying them, feeling them, and knowing that is the key, is just being with them and feeling them and allowing them to process instead of avoiding them. Or a lot of people with different substance abuse, they'll do, you know, drink them away or eat them away or, you know, smoke them away. But it's still those emotions will still be there. So just having that realization that that's part of the process to shift you into the next vibration is just accepting and feeling and embodying the emotion so it can flow, like you said, through you, and then you can get to the next step.
Yeah, that's so important. And you know, I think that the one thing that I've come to see is, as much as I would like to jump from, let's say, take an extreme example, the well of despair to the heights of heaven, I have to go through those steps. And everything in life involves taking steps. And, you know, I need to recognize that it is a journey that I'm on, and that I am having a human experience. And sometimes that does involve having to deal with uncomfortable feelings and situations, and that's just part of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that part of that is, like, what I've been realizing for my life is that as I have been putting intentions out for new things to come into my life, like a greater, you know, for my community to grow, or for me to get a new job, or, you know, whatever the expansion is that I'm calling forth into my life, that when I'm stepping into the newness, it's also something that's old dies. And so even in embracing a new thing, there's a grief process that goes with it. And so
sure.
I get the opportunity to recognize, even with the good or the challenging thing, that I get to be in the grief process. And that just being in the process again is the thing that causes it to come into fruition. Not the grief, but the new thing to come into fruition, because it provides the cleansing and the spaciousness for me to release the old.
Well, that's all part of growth, isn't it?
Yeah.
No pain, no gain, and that is so true.
Yeah, I learned that. I used to be a person who said I have a black thumb, so I can't grow anything, and I've shifted that wording to I always have a green thumb. And recently,
I noticed that
when I trim my plants, like my roses, when I trim my roses down to like nothing, they sprout back even fuller than if I only trimmed a couple of things.
That's true.
And I think it's a great metaphor for our lives. If we're getting into that space, it's like we got to let go of a lot of stuff in order to bring the new stuff in. And it's all part of the process. It's not, I don't need to resist that part. I get to lean into that uncomfortable part of the process.
I like that. And that's a good metaphor, the rose bush. It's a good metaphor for our human lives, too, because sometimes we just do need to be cut all the way back in order to grow in the way that God intends for us to grow. And it's a challenging thing, and it can lead to things like dark nights of the soul. But, you know, it's like out of chaos comes great order, and out of pain comes great joy. So, I didn't mean to spend so much time talking about those things, but I think they're important for us all to consider as part of our growing process. And tonight we're going to focus on the emergence of the divine feminine coming into partnership with the divine masculine. What would you say about that?
It's actually a great segue, and you will find out in a moment. So the divine masculine, you know, it's beautiful how the divine is orchestrating our conversation to lead into this. It's so beautiful. I've come up with some really good clarity around the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And I've known that the divine feminine is re-emerging in the world. And last year at my woman's retreat, we did an in-depth study of embracing the divine feminine. And when I started looking at what the divine feminine is, so it's like we get all, each one of us has a perfect harmony, divine masculine, divine feminine within us. So it's not like just because I'm a woman that I only have divine feminine, and just because you're a man, you only have divine masculine. It's not like that at all. We both have both qualities in harmony within us. And so the aspects, whenever you're starting to look at the aspects of the divine masculine, then and I'm really getting this. It's kind of like the divine masculine is power. It's intention. It's the order that you were talking about, right? It's so that's divine masculine. And if we're going into this the plant metaphor, it's like the seed. And when you get into the divine feminine, that's kind of like the soil. And the divine feminine is creativity, interconnectedness. It's the multiplicity. So like divine masculine is the one intention, and the divine feminine is everything. And some people call it chaos or darkness, because the seed has to be planted into that darkness, and from that darkness it gets fertilizer, and it gets nutrients, and it gets all the things that it needs to sprout. And when we explore the aspect that the divine masculine has been I'm going to say personally, I think that for millennia, for thousands of years, the divine masculine has been the primary focus of when we're talking about our spiritual connection. There's been a lot of that divine masculine focus. And what's coming into being onto our planet is this rising of the divine feminine in order to create harmony with the divine masculine. So if you have the divine masculine, you have a power without balance, then you can get into overpowering. But if you get the divine feminine rising up to be in perfect harmony with the divine masculine, then that power starts being used to empower, because there's that aspect of the divine feminine which represents our interconnectedness of how, like, oh, well, I have this power, which is a powerful force for good, right? Or whatever you want to use it for. We all have power. And when I'm realizing that I'm interconnected with everybody on the planet, then I can utilize my power to empower people. And so that's what I'm noticing is rising on the planet, is this great realization of our interconnectedness and creativity. And it's like the divine feminine is also the I want to say non-local, or it's everywhere present, like the soil. You think of the seed and the divine masculine goes into the soil. It's the one thing, and the soil is all over the planet. It's everywhere. So just having that harmony is so beautiful, but it also can cause chaos. So that's really what I've realized, is like we were just talking about how the cutting away and the old and sometimes the dark night of the soul. I kind of feel like that's what's going on. At least that's what started going on in my own personal life when I started witnessing and seeing and exploring the divine feminine. It's like I had a year of huge transition and grief and sadness. And I'm noticing all around our country, there's chaos and what people might say darkness or you know, why is this all going on at this time? But I actually think it's going on because it's the divine feminine that is re-emerging to create that harmony. But in the process, we get to go through that dark night of the soul. We get to go through that cutting back. We get to go through that. And so we're kind of, I believe, in the middle of that right now.
What was the pain like for you? I agree. I totally agree with that in so many different ways. I'm just wondering what the pain was for you as you went through that.
What was the pain like?
What was it about?
Oh, what was it about? So, you know, it's interesting. So I run this women's retreat, and it's called Sister Spirit. If you want to look it up, it's sisterspiritretreat.org. And I've had this, I'm in my 11th year, and I've had this group of 8 women who've been my team members who created this retreat with me. And we've been creating the retreat of our dreams and doing it for, you know, so many women. And five of my 8 team members all had a death of a parent in their family. Well, 4 of them did, and then one of them had a tree fall on her house, all within a month time period before the retreat.
Wow.
And, yeah. And none of them, all of those women could not come to the retreat at the same time. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I was left with, I mean, this powerful retreat that I'm creating with barely any team. I'm a minister, so I was counseling and supporting my team members through these transitions. But then I also was in deep loss myself because I didn't have that support that I needed. So I was like doing this retreat, and it was a huge surrendering process. It was a huge sadness, I realized they all ended up not staying on my team too. They all resigned. Like they thought, oh, we'll come back next year, and they all ended up resigning. And so I have like a brand new team this year. But it was really, I mean, they've been with me for a decade, and I had some deep grief around it, and I had huge surrender around it and sadness, but it also left this amazing, miraculous experience happen where, like, everybody, all these women who came to the retreat, like, they just, like, jumped up and supported in all of these ridiculous ways where the retreat was, while emotionally, I processed a lot emotionally at the retreat, I was also wildly supported. Like, it was just, it was something I'd never experienced before, and it was amazing. And so I, you know, I was like, and I can't even, like, how do you even plan, like, parents die? I mean, one of my members had both her mom and her dad die, like, within a month of each other. It's just, you can't even, I can understand one of my team members, like, losing, but you can't even, like, plan. Like, that's just unbelievable. And the other woman who had a tree fall, like, a 200-year-old tree, like, there, a windstorm came, and it just, the whole thing collapsed, and it crushed their house. I mean, it was just, you know, and she was like, I don't have a place to live. I don't have, like, I'm homeless all of a sudden. And it's just, you know, so it was like chaotic and it was crazy and and I didn't even know what to do except that I have faith and I know that God is in the middle of all of it. And then I saw the huge irony of me doing a retreat where we were focusing on embracing the divine feminine, which is that space of the soil and the dark night of the soul and the chrysalis for the butterfly. And it's like the womb. It's the womb.
So the grief that you were experiencing, or when we experience grief, that really is coming more from the divine feminine, isn't it?
I think, well, the grief is a human emotion, but the cause of it is the change or the transition, which that is really the divine feminine. It's the birthing of something new into our lives. And so the birthing is that dark night of the soul. Like I said, if you put the seed in the soil, a seed's not going to grow if you have a seed on the sidewalk, you know, just out there in the sun. It's just going to dry up. But you put the seed in the dark soil, in that place with the fertilizer on it, and the soil that's ever present has the wisdom, has the knowledge, has the creativity to make that seed come into fruition. So it's actually the space of creation. It's the space of innovation, but it's also the space of loss and of letting go in order for the newness to come into being.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I've been wondering about is going way back in history, the divine feminine was celebrated. When did that stop and why did that stop?
You know, I can't really tell you exactly when and why, but I can tell you my thoughts about it. What I do think is that there was a, just like there was the celebration of the divine masculine, there was the celebration of the divine feminine. And I think we had a time period in our human history where we had an agreement to explore the feminine aspects of life. And there was matriarchies. I mean, there was the in some places the last name was handed down by the mother, you know, and so the family name was handed by the mother. And so we had this time of exploring the divine feminine in our human history. And then I feel like the pendulum moved all the way to the other side where we have this exploration of the divine masculine and of creating this powerful experience on the planet and creating order and systems, because the feminine is the creative, and sometimes it's disorderly, and it's, you know, so we've had this kind of pendulum swing we've experienced once in our consciousness and our time period alive on the planet and in the divine feminine, and then we explored the divine masculine, and then we all showed up, I feel like, at this time period where the divine feminine is reemerging, and we get to experience that perfect harmony, that marriage, that balancing. Except it's starting. So it's not balanced right now, but it's coming into fruition, and so we get to participate in the experiential aspect of that harmony and of that realization of that embodying something new. And the newness is that perfection of that marriage of the divine masculine and the feminine.
What can we do to nurture that?
I think the best, well, the, I mean, it would probably be a couple of things. One is to recognize the aspects of the divine masculine that are serving, that are good, that are working in your life. And then if you are noticing, like I'm a woman and I grew up in a patriarchal society that is changing. We notice our society is kind of reflecting these things, right? But I know that I was kind of growing up kind of fit into a certain box, and now I'm recognizing that I don't have to be in that box. As a matter of fact, the box that was created for many of us in different gender roles, I think was part of that not lack of balance in the divine masculine. So if you start melting away those boxes and start having things be a little bit more fluid and more open, that's embracing the divine feminine. So I think really to embrace the divine feminine rising is to embrace the fluidity and embrace the change and recognize that truly this is part of the process of coming into harmony and balance and being in that process, actively involved in supporting and nurturing it, nurturing your creativity, nurturing new ideas and new ways of doing things that are collaborative. Like the old world paradigm was the working in silos, right? Where competition, it's all for me. And the new world paradigm is, again, taking that power and using it to empower others and starting to collaborate and work across, different fields and different ways of being with each other and not being so conforming to, I think that's why the gender fluid roles, there's a lot more people that are self-identifying as being more fluid in their sexuality and their gender identity and in different ways of being. And I think that's because the divine feminine is allowing the whole spectrum to come into being instead of you have to be this or this. It's not a this or this anymore. It's a let's look at how we're all connected in the wholeness of who we are.
I love the word empower, and I was thinking about change as part of our human experience. And also, I mean, that's part of our spiritual experience too, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. And I think I have a good story of like how I perceive change. And there's a story about catching monkeys. So if you want to catch a monkey, for instance, there, just imagine like having a box, and the box has a slit in the top of it that's big enough for the monkey's hand to go into the box. And at the bottom of the box are some nuts. And so the monkey can grab the nuts and then try and pull its hand out of the box. But with its fist clenched, it can't get its hand out of the box.
Right.
And the monkey has to choose. You know, the monkey can choose, I can have freedom and let go of the nuts, or I can hold on to the nuts and be stuck. And most monkeys will choose to be stuck. And I think that's also a great metaphor. Like, what am I holding on to? You know, that I have to let go. allow this change to happen?
Well, so the pendulum is swinging and the divine feminine is reemerging. Do you think the pendulum's going to keep swinging, or do you think that we're going to come to a point where we truly do marry the two, the divine feminine and the divine masculine?
I do believe that we're coming to that point where we're coming into that harmony and the marriage of that, and the realization and the appreciation for all of the ways that the divine shows up in our lives. And that's where it, you know, it becomes okay to worship and love and appreciate the divinity in somebody like Jesus, but it also becomes okay and worship and see the divinity in somebody like Mary Magdalene, or, you know, you might see a reemergence of Isis or Hathor or any of the other divine feminine deities that have come through space and time. I think that there's a reemergence of the appreciation and the honoring of what that divine feminine has brought into beingness.
Do you think that we'll come into even newer terms so that we're not looking at the yin or the yang, or do you think the yin and the yang are necessary?
That is a great question. I like it. I don't know the answer to that, but I think that, as I was saying, that, well, one thing is the divine God, the universe, it has no gender. And so part of our identification of it has been the human-made identification. But I do. There is an energetic that is, I want to say, it's not opposites, but it appears as its opposites. You know, it's like man and women are not opposites, but, you know, that energy is not an opposite energy, but it is something that is a different way of looking at the divine. And I do see that as our consciousness for humanity is evolving, I imagine that the lines are dissolving between that, and so the wholeness and the beauty and the appreciation, like, that's kind of our evolution, is to see the wholeness of it and not so much the difference of it. So I think that it's essential to understand where we've come from, but I do believe that we're evolving into the space of just seeing the beauty and the divine in all of it instead of one or the other. Maybe
how can we embody the divine within ourselves?
Well, I am a big champion of spiritual practices and having as many as possible. And the beautiful thing about embodying, you just mentioned this really well, how can we embody the divine within ourselves? And I think the first thing is to recognize that we are divine, that we are every human, every rock, every tree, everything is God. Everything is that divinity. And it is expressing itself uniquely. And I think a big shift for many people is to, instead of seeing God outside, is to see God inside and to recognize,
right,
my body is a body temple of the divine, and that I can connect to that divine aspect of myself. I don't have to go anywhere, you know, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to the beach. Now I can find that connection in myself when I have these outside inspirations to help me get there, but you don't have to go anywhere except just look within. And that's really the key.
Well, what else would you like to say about the divine feminine and the divine masculine?
I think that it's important to look at one's life and like for me to look at my life and to see where have I been denying that darkness is part of, you know, that challenge that I had. For instance, last year with my sister spirit retreat that I had with my team, you know, instead of being, for me, victimized by that, why did this happen to me? I can't believe half my team is all resigning all at the same time. and that's a victim standpoint. Instead, shifting those dark nights of the soul and looking at it through those glasses of seeing this is the gestation, this is the time in the cave, this is the chrysalis for the butterfly, this is so honoring myself in the process allows me to know that is birthing something new through me and through my life, and it's even better than what I had before. And so I think that embracing of the divine feminine is really embracing of those challenging periods in our lives and seeing them not as something to be avoided or shunned or scared of, but as growth periods or germination periods for the next level of evolution in our lives. I think that's really the key.
Well, you've stimulated all kinds of thoughts, and I'm grasping at them, and they aren't necessarily connected to what you just said. But I was thinking about part of the human experience, which is not, as I see it, part of our divinity, but a challenge in returning to that, and that is that victim mentality that you referred to. How can we free ourselves from that and reclaim our divinity so that we don't get stuck in repetitive cycles, so that we can move again towards our joy? I mean, we talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the show, but I think I'm coming at it from a slightly different perspective.
I recognize and know that my own healing journey comes with the realization or the belief system that God is continuously working for me in my life. And so there's that quote in the Bible, I think it's in Genesis, and it's like, you meant it for my harm, but God meant it for my good. And if I really recognize that every challenging thing that has happened in my life is God planting me in a place of greater good, and actively looking at that situation, and instead of coming at it from, you know, I've been abused or I've been harmed, or, you know, is finding what are the gifts in that situation, and
right,
how can I utilize those gifts to be a benefit for others as a result of that.
Perfect. Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I believe that some of the greatest gifts are those very challenges that you've been talking about, and that there is a silver lining to every dark cloud. And until we can come to that place, we're not really going to be able to find gratitude for the whole of our lives, or that we're now negating something and judging something when in essence it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
we will take a call in a minute or two. We are talking today, we have a new caller on the line. We lost the other two, but that's okay. We've been talking about the emergence of the divine feminine this evening, and I've been kind of digressing at points, but is there anything else you'd like to say about that?
Yeah, I have a Maya Angelou quote that I love. It says, she says, "We delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty."
Mm. Boy, that's profound. I love Maya Angelou.
Yeah, me too.
She was such a role model and endured so much. And I think of her, in fact, I read a quote recently, and I'm not going to try to paraphrase it other than to say that the essence of it is contained within my view of her, and that is that she is a survivor who came to appreciate and learn how to thrive. And mm-hmm. to me, that's what spirit is all about. It's raising us up and lifting us to this point where we are thriving, because we are eternal beings. We are meant to be free, and we're the only ones that can really chain ourselves down in the long run. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. at points in our lives, we're vulnerable, and we are indeed victims in a sense. But as we grow and mature and get in touch with our own divinity, we can rise above.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you like to take a call?
Sure.
Okay. Area code 775, would you like to make a comment? And what is your name, please?
Hi, David. This is Wendy calling from Sacramento. And
hi, Wendy. How are you?
Well, I'm quite worried about quite a few things. Your guest is fascinating and very interesting, and I'm enjoying this show. I tuned in a little late than I normally do, and I don't think that your guest is taking questions in the type that I normally ask. Is that true?
Well, she's a minister. She's not a psychic.
Okay. Well,
that's not to say you can't ask a question and get some suggestions, you know, especially if you're in a place of worry. I think that the one thing that I've come to learn in this life is unless we share what's on our minds, then we keep running around in circles and it only gets worse. So feel free to ask her a question or suggestion for advice or something like that.
Well,
Reverend Abigail,
I'll just comment that verse that she stated about the butterfly was absolutely beautiful. And I'd like to know the name of the author who wrote that again, because I want to maybe get a book by that author.
Yeah, it was Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou. Yes. I love inspirational quotes like that. And I do find you quite fascinating and intelligent, but I'm not surprised, because those are the kind of guests that David brings on the show. And it's wonderful to meet you. I will say that.
Thank you. It's wonderful to meet you, too.
Thank you. Well, God bless you all, and thank you again.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Feel free to continue to listen. I appreciate your support and your positive comments about the guests that I have on the show. I agree.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Where were we? Do you remember?
Well, we were just talking about birthing new things and letting go. Letting go of victim
mentality. Well, why don't we just take it up a notch to letting go in general, because that's an elusive concept for a lot of people. And, you know, I always think of judgment and letting go of judgment, letting go of the need to control, as a couple of examples of letting go. I mean, there's so many things. What would you say is a key to surrendering to spirit and letting go? Or are they even one and the same?
Yeah, yes. I would definitely say so. It's, you know, I recently reread the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. And he's got two laws that seem like they're opposite, but they're not. One of them is called the law of intentionality, and it's about as we speak and we put our intentions out there, then the universe creates those intentions. And the other law was the law of detachment. It seems like, oh, well, we're putting intention, but then we're detached about it. And he talks about that the willingness to allow the universe or allow God to create in a way that is maybe different than we anticipated brings mm-hmm. freedom into our life. So if I have my intention, like I want to live an abundant life or have an abundant life, or maybe my intention is to get a job, and I keep that intention in mind, but I also keep the law of detachment, so I'm not attached to the outcome. So maybe I don't get the job, but the reason why I didn't get the job is because the universe knew that there is a better fit for me out there. And so I needed to not get the job, so I'd keep looking for that next job, and right in the perfect timing of when they had an opening is when I was looking then, and I got a better job than I was imagining. And so it's being detached to the outcome and using the faith of knowing that God is always conspiring for our good.
I love that. And I don't know if we've talked about this before. It's highly likely. But I think that for me, one of the epiphanies I had about prayer is when I'm praying for something to manifest, that I pray for this or something better.
Yes. I use that all the time. I love it. And yeah, I use it when I'm praying with people too. And sometimes they're like, wait, what do you mean? But this is the thing I want. And then I say, well, would something better be okay? Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, in essence, we're limiting God, and God is all powerful when we pray for a specific outcome. The challenge that I've had around this has been getting published by a major publisher, and I finally obtained an agent for the first book in my series of 21 books that I've written. And I just have to keep turning it over and letting go of the outcome. And it is a real challenge for me because this has been something that I've been birthing for the last 10 years, and I do feel pretty attached to it, and so detaching from it is a challenge for me. What suggestions would you have?
Well, I think maintaining that intentionality. I mean, why are you writing the books? What's the purpose? What's the why behind the books? Like, what
the
do you
why is help people lighten up and get in touch with their spirits and recognize that they don't need to take life so seriously.
Right. So maintaining your why is really key. Like, why am I doing this? And does it have to be in the way that I think? You know, I think, God, you should create it in this way. It's really open to, can I get my why in some other way? and being willing to be open to that. So maybe it's not coming in this particular way, but your intention is already out there, so it is coming no matter what. And so I think recognizing and knowing and paying attention and being open, I often ask for clues, feedback, guidance, signs. You know, and I when I say my prayers and I'm like, I just don't know what my next steps are or how I'm going to do it, I just say, can you make it blatantly clear? Can you just give me something like where I just, oh. And sometimes those blatantly clear things have come in the form of, I got written up at work, you know. And then, and then the next blatantly clear thing is somebody walks in and offers me a job within 24 hours. You know, it's like, oh, well, that's pretty clear, you know. So just recognizing and knowing that as you're on your journey, that your why is happening, and to just be open, and also just ask the universe or ask God for signs, because it's always responding, always responding.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. It's one thing to embrace a concept and another to embody it and live it and not worry, as Wendy was saying. So that's just my own unique experience. And of course, none of us are terminally unique. We all have our own sets of characteristics and gifts, but ultimately we're all one.
Yeah, well, I'm going to know and affirm your success for your 21 books. I think that that's pretty amazing and fantastic, and I'm grateful to watch this unfold for you. I know that it will unfold in a way that is supportive and delightful and surprising and fun. Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, getting back to that idea that we're all one, and I trust you would agree with that, that really brings us back to the topic at hand, and that is partnering the divine feminine with the divine masculine, or coming into a place of balance, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Harmony and balance, absolutely.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to say about it?
I think that recognizing that within each of us there is that balance and harmony that's inherent in who we are is part of the key. And again, like I said before, to be open to the delight and the surprise of it looking different. So, I know we're coming close to the end of our time here, but I'm just going to say that I've noticed that there's a lot of chaos and turmoil that is happening in our country right now. And I truly believe that this is the falling apart before it falls together. And but it's also so that it's a catalyst for the newness and the revelation of a new idea of possibility for freedom in our country. And freedom, and just like our Declaration of Independence says, you know, the right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I would declare that that is our truth, and we're ever evolving into realizing that truth for ourselves. And sometimes it comes in the form of chaos. And so I truly believe that chaos is happening now. And I'm participating. I'd like everybody who's listening also to be invested in participating in creating the newness that's happening. Because if the chaos and the falling away is happening, it's prime time for innovation and prime time for ideas and prime time for a new idea of possibility to come into being and into fruition.
Is that how we find balance? Is that how we restore balance?
I think it's being in the process of mm-hmm. recognizing and knowing, like, it needs both the active and the receptive. It needs me to be receptive to what's changing, to be in my spiritual practices of receiving, you know, like meditation, to be in that receptive mode of being open to the divine flow, but then also taking an active role in the creation of it. So when I'm taking an active role, so the active role is the divine masculine. So that's where I'm setting my intention, and that's where I am, actively, participating. I have a prayer for a job. Well, then I actually start applying for jobs, you know. So that's the divine masculine is the active role, and the divine feminine is the receptive role. So that's when I start opening myself up to greater possibility, where I open myself up to creativity, where I provide spaciousness in my life so that ideas and inspiration can come in. So we need both of those to come into harmony in our life, of being both active and receptive. And that creates the new idea of possibility coming in. That's when the plant starts sprouting. You know, that's when it, because you need to have both. You can't just be active. You have to have the time to be in the receiving, to be in the connection, to be in the harmony and the spaciousness of it. And the combination, that's the balance. That's the perfect balance. And the combination of both of that to come into being.
Now, the receptive part would have to do with the openness, right?
Yes.
Okay, because I was thinking along the lines of, the action is so important too. And in between, we need to have willingness, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and so the being open to greater possibilities, being open to even more is so important. But you need to do both. You know, it's like some people are out there and they're like, well, all I have to do is pray. Well, no. You know, there's prayer and there's action. It takes both. And there's also all these people, I'm just going to do stuff and I'm not going to be in the space of connecting. Well, no, you got to have the, not just the doing, but the receiving of the insight and the connection to the divine. And that's prayer, that's meditation, that's sometimes just going out into nature and just being and being in the space of beauty and love. It's like we need to be in the gaps in order for newness to come through.
I like that thought. Well, we are down to the last 3.5 minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to share today?
Well, I just want to state my gratitude for you, David. I really appreciate connecting with you and what you're up to, and I know that you are doing some great work in the world, and I honor you, and I thank you so much for allowing me this time to just be with you and everybody else who's out there. I'm so grateful and humbled to be a part of what we're creating together.
Well, back at you. I would like to ask you one favor, as you've done before. Would you take us out in prayer?
Absolutely. So just being centered in that realization of this present moment now, I recognize and know that this holy moment, this moment now, is the perfect embodiment of balance and harmony. That which I've called into being by intentionality through the divine masculine, and that which I've called into being by the divine feminine, which is the gestation, the ideas, the creativity, I recognize and know that it has planted something in my life and each and every person who's listening to this right here and right now. Something new is birthing through each and every one of us, emerging, uplifting, and supporting. And so as I know this truth, I recognize and know that God, that spirit, that the universal goodness is right in the middle of all of it, and it is activating me in my life to be open to the next step that is even greater than I can ever imagine. And so as I open to that, I just celebrate. I say yes, and I am so grateful to feel and know this truth, to know that it just keeps getting better for myself and for everybody who hears these words. And for that, I release this word. I release this prayer, knowing it's already done. I surrender, I release, and I receive. And so it is. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And I think that is a great note to end on. Thank you so much for the prayer and for being with us today. And I've really enjoyed the stimulating conversation and everything that's gone along with it. Thank you, Abigail.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Good night, and God bless everyone.
God bless.